training camp coverage brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer and 72 Soul.
Hi, this is Rondell Moore, and you're listening to 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
You know, have a hop outside, see Kirk, Rondell, Andy, Keyshawn, all the guys that we do have. We have a great receiving room, more weapons than I could ask for.
Nice catch, Rondell!
Steve, did you see that? Ridiculous catch.
I think the Tyreek comparisons, I have a long way to go, of course, and I've definitely got to get here and prove that I can do it.
This is a guy who's a football junkie, loves it. We had double A's on him, which our character and our football character.
That's it. Blow it.
Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals now.
The Cardinals are running 9-on-7. Wolf will talk to you in 10 minutes.
Here it is, baby. 12 personnel by the Arizona Cardinals. One back and two tight ends. Inside drill is always where the fur will fly the most. You might get your eyebrows waxed right off your face. It's an area where you need to stay up. You don't want people on the ground, but I can tell you that more times than not, a pile will form. There'll be much yelling by coaches, much to the chagrin of coaches. They will be screaming at you to stay off the ground, yet at the same time, a pile is going to form, and at some time, you might even see a brawl.
That's all going on to our right now at State Farm Stadium. On the left, receivers going one-on-one, receivers and backs going one-on-one with corners, and Keyshawn Johnson with a nice little out and up and being able to break contain and get a quote-unquote touchdown with no safety or anything like that. And I also saw Rondell Moore with a nice catch away from his body just a second ago.
Boy, how about that right there? Yeah, nice play by Jordan Hicks on the inside. This is where you get to make an impression right now. And these are critical. These drills right now are critical. Think about it. How is having three preseason games, how's that going to change the dynamic of preseason, Douglas, and team building? Are you still looking for your top 53? Is it all about the top 53? Or now, because you only have three games, what does that mean? You're only going to play the starters two games? And does that mean they've got to get more reps in those two games? You have to wonder how that's going to work. But if you're a rookie, you're trying to make the 53-man roster, you're an undrafted free agent, whatever it may be, every rep you get in practice, man, every rep is critical, because you're not going to get 100 reps to go out and show what you can do. You might only get in an entire training camp. You might only get 20, 30 live reps, live snaps in a training camp before they whack you. Are you kidding me?
Well, there's also one of the things that interests me is this is sweeping the league with the three preseason games, despite, because when it was set up, there we thought we were out of the pandemic. But we know for a fact under Bruce Arians, Steve Keim has said he enjoys practicing against other teams.
Yeah.
And
a lot of the league is doing too.
And like I said, it was set up is there such a thing as pre-pandemic? But when we thought we were getting out of the pandemic, a lot of teams thought, well, I'm going to replace that extra preseason game with some practices going up against possibly the team we're scrimmaging, or excuse me, against the preseason team. And I think there's one team that's even got two of them, two joint practices up against the team they're about ready to play in the preseason. And we know Steve Keim likes it, so it's kind of interesting that we haven't seen Cliff Kingsbury embrace it. We understand last year.
Yes.
But they're not doing it this year.
Here we go right here. Got a little team going on, right? It's 11-on-11 going on, and Chase Edmonds just carried the ball. A nice firm tackle by Jalen Thompson. Oh, man, Jalen Thompson is a guy I'm really interested to see stay healthy. Love to see that, a little play action. They ran against man cover. Here we go. Well, we got some ball going on here.
As you were watching the line, I was watching both Zaven Collins and Isaiah Simmons both crashed and didn't get home. But Malcolm Butler jumped the route and was able to knock it away from DeAndre Hopkins.
Did you see how open the middle was?
Yeah.
Because of that, because of the play action fake. And here we got these two young linebackers, these dogs that are going to suck up because they don't want to get blown off the ball. They want to make a play.
Oh, wait, stop.
Physical.
Stop.
What? What?
DeAndre, or excuse me, Kyler Murray,
yes.
Ladies and gentlemen. is under center.
He's under center. And they just ran inside zone.
Wow.
North and south. Here's what we need to do. What do you say? We stick a running back. His toes are at six, maybe even seven, if you want to do
that. Did you know that was in the playbook?
We'll go 11 personnel, one back, one tight end. We'll put Kyler under center, and here we'll run the inside zone. We will lower the plow and hit the gas in a north-south direction. What a beautiful thing that is, especially, Basinonians, when you pull the ball out of the running back on that action and then throw the ball down the field.
We're actually playing football in Glendale, and Malcolm Butler got his first pass interference penalty.
Might have been a penalty,
as
exactly.
As D-Hop was pushing off, and Malcolm Butler now for the first time this year is arguing with a referee over the pass interference penalty.
There was some holding going on, I believe.
Speaking of DeAndre Hopkins, he was talking to the media yesterday, and it really sounded great to hear him say the one area where he thinks Kyler has grown the most is probably the one area where everyone outside the organization and some people inside said he needed to grow the most.
A lot of growth. I would say the biggest thing is just him communicating with us outside of football and just trying to get to know his teammates.
What's that, Douglas? I totally got busted right there. I am so sorry. What was that?
I should have known.
Football is a lot. Well, listen, you didn't follow up quickly either. You're watching the same practice I
Wolf,
have right
wake
now.
Up.
Hey, listen, Basinonians, I'm so sorry right there, but this is really good. A little blitz period now being orchestrated by the Arizona Cardinals. A little team blitz going on. That's where you line up and, for the most part, work on your protections against all sorts of different looks coming out of the secondary right there. Colt McCoy.
Guest of the Doug and Wolf Show.
Guest of the Doug and Wolf Show, yes. Colt McCoy on earlier this morning says he's a good fit. He likes this offense, and he likes the fit going forward. I'm seriously encouraged right now.
And the halftime oranges have just been brought up.
You know, I came off a broken leg 2 years ago. I missed 2019 pretty much. I didn't really know if I was ever going to be myself again, but decided to go play in New York last year and ended up starting a few games and playing, you know, what I felt like pretty good. And so now I'm playing with a lot of confidence. I sort of picked my mojo back up, and I'm in a place where it's very quarterback friendly. There's a lot of targets to throw to. I really, really like the way Cliff sees the game. He sees it from a quarterback's perspective, which all the coaches that I've played for, you know, the guys who have actually played quarterback and had the ball in their hands and had to make tough decisions and make them quickly, those are the guys that I really feel like I want to play for. I see the game the same way, and Cliff sees it just as good as anybody.
Man, that is awesome right there. Yeah,
he does. That was Colt McCoy from earlier this morning.
Colt McCoy talking about Cliff Kingsbury and being in this offense and how much he is enjoying it right now. And you know, it's interesting because you can see the Arizona Cardinals and the evolution of the offense. To me, right now, you can see what is happening. 11 personnel, they're using that an awful lot. That was their number one personnel group, of course, last year. One back, one tight end. I love the fact that Isaiah Simmons is getting an awful lot of action here with Zaven Collins. Those two guys on the inside. Douglas, you've heard me talk about this right now. Just the fact that when you have two linebackers, two inside linebackers that do not come off the field, whether the offense is in 12 personnel, whether they're in 10 personnel, 11 personnel, it doesn't matter what. It doesn't matter how many tight ends they have out there. It doesn't matter what the down and distance is. When you got two inside linebackers that do not come off the field because they're capable of holding up at the point of attack against power personnel groups, because they're capable of actually holding up and getting into their zone room against 10 personnel, a four wide receiver set, because they're capable of doing all things, whether it's physical or mental or spiritual, they never come off the field. The best defenses that have ever been in the National Football League had two inside linebackers that never came off the field. You think of Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis of the Carolina Panthers. You think of Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman of the San Francisco 49ers. Man, this is gold in your hand when you have two guys that don't come off the field. And right now, that's what I'm looking at. The possibility. Listen, you know what? Zaven Collins has got to prove he can play. Isaiah Simmons has still got to prove that he can play. These guys are long. They're athletic. They're awesome. Awesome specimens. But man, the dirt of this game is always going to be at the point of attack. The dirt and the blood mixed together at the point of attack. If you can't do that, you're not going to be successful in this game. It's still that way. Not to the degree in which it was when I played all those years ago. And I hate saying that. Back when I played, I can't stand it. But you know what? It's still the essence of the game today. And if you can't stick your face into the fire, get over to the sideline.
You listed four things that you want to see. You did not list the clock as one of those things.
Oh, boy. Man, just honestly.
Keep listening for the next 40 minutes because Ron Wolfley is watching football again, and he's on an absolute roll and pretty fired up about it. If you love something that he said or want to see something at camp, text us your name and tell us your thoughts on what you want to see at the FanDuel text line. Text it now to 620-620. One of the things we want to see is Zach Gallen trust his stuff and attack more hitters. Zach Allen do what he did three plays ago.
Bobby Wagner.
As Zach Allen actually just was able to chuck a defender and get his hands up and knock a pass away.
KJ Wright.
So that was pretty cool to see. Coming up next, NBA free agency is underway. We'll keep our eye on that, but we'll stop talking basketball the split second anything happens at Cards Camp that you've got to know about. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The number one story of the day.
I think what this says is that, look, man, the Phoenix Suns are committed. They're going all in. They're going for it.
Now they got their captain back. They have their floor general back. They have their leader back. So I think both parties won.
The first part was showing up Chris Paul. They got Cameron Payne. There's some other guys they're going after as well. I might as well throw out there. They're also looking at JaVale McGee.
Doug and Wolf's The One.
The One is Suns free agency as the first part of practice for the Cardinals has broken up, in which we actually saw people running into each other. I don't want to say actual hitting was going on, but there was football being played.
Oh, no, there was football being played. There was hitting going on, especially along the line of scrimmage right there. You had 9-on-7, 9-on-7. That looked very physical. You had a little team right here, a little team blitz as well, working against a lot of pressure coming down, whether it was play action or if you were in 10 personnel, you were in third and obvious situations. A lot of good work right there, man. That was football. That was football.
I'm excited to see what happens with Kyler and the conversation as Kyler simply rolled out and then trying to throw the ball away did not make a good play. I don't know if I'm allowed to specifically say what happened, so I'll keep my mouth shut.
He threw a pick.
Okay. But it's...
I mean, isn't that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was saying. I don't know what I'm allowed to say. There's fans here, I think I'm allowed to talk about it. But
yes, you're allowed to talk about it. Doug Lease, there could be another team scout here taking notes. To what he's saying right now. So, of course.
Well, then, I won't say what happened, but I'll give credit to Marco Wilson, the rookie on the play.
Yes. And I know you're out there. Whoever you are, I know you're here.
Now, don't be so stupid to charge people to come in. You know why?
Why?
If you charge people, you're allowed to film it, beating the other team. Beloved Daniel Snyder didn't know that rule about 15 years ago and started charging Washington fans to come to camp.
Oh, my goodness.
So other teams came with cameras.
Oh, my goodness. Stop. That is brutal.
He learned the lesson and kind of got out of the way a little bit there. The Suns have had an amazing day in free agency.
Man.
And this is something that does not count as free agency. But Maloney sent me this, and it has to do with free agency in the NBA, and I sat in total shock when she sent me this, and that is free agents potentially signing at other places. And right now, Kawhi Leonard and the rankings of where Kawhi Leonard might end up.
You're going to say the Knicks?
Team number one is, of course, still the Clippers.
Okay.
I'm just focused on team number four.
Team number four.
Team number four on the list of potential landing sites.
Number of the world.
By a sports betting website. The Phoenix Suns.
What? Okay. You know what? Honestly, though, stop it. You're kidding me, right?
I am not kidding.
You could stop.
Right now, there's a sports betting website that, in giving odds of where Kawhi Leonard will sign in free agency, says the fourth best odds in the NBA is that he becomes a Sun. I was wrong. I didn't read it correctly. She just reset
okay,
it. Thank
okay.
you for this. I was right about the Suns, but you were right about the Knicks. The Clippers aren't listed in the top four. I totally got
this. What were you looking at?
It's Knicks, Mavericks, Warriors, Suns.
There it is. Knicks. Number one, man. The Knicks right now. What are the Knicks?
Brian Windhorst nailed it when he had said earlier in the week, it doesn't make sense for either the Clippers or Kawhi Leonard for him to have opted out. It's better for him financially to opt in and sign a contract extension. You can make more money.
You think about this.
And it's better for the Clippers if he opts in, because even if he re-signs with the Clippers, they no longer get to take a salary exemption for his knee. That means if he re-signs, it hurts the team. Therefore, boy, this is
honestly,
this
you
is
know
amazing.
What? To me right now, when you're talking about Kawhi Leonard, that is a good fit in New York. The New York Knicks, to me.
For a guy that doesn't like talking to the media?
I'm just saying, hey, listen, who cares? Get over it. He was out in L.A. with the Clippers, of course. Derrick Rose, Alec Burks, Nerlens Noel. That is what the Knicks have signed so far with Evan Fournier as well. Okay, that's been their big splash out there. They kept their guys in Derrick Rose, Alec Burks, and Nerlens Noel. They kept their guys, and they went out and got Evan Fournier. All right? That's their big three-year
It's 70, the guy that the United States of America can't guard.
Exactly right. $78 million contract.
By the way, D-Book had 9 points, 9 boards this morning.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. Okay. But do you think that Kawhi Leonard would fit on that team?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But here's
There's
the
no
most,
doubt about it.
Here's the most important thing on the odds that Maloney sent me. There's only one Eastern Conference team. Granted, they're number one. But the number two team is Dallas, and I am not excited about a Doncic-Kawhi Leonard pairing.
No way.
That would be...
Hey, that can't happen.
You add not only an offensive weapon of that skill to what Doncic does.
Yeah.
But now for the first time in years, you add defense to that team.
Yes, exactly right.
That gets scary. And then, of course, we've got to be all in fear of the Warriors. Boy. Because you can't have a healthy Klay Thompson and Kawhi Leonard together. That would be death. But
the way the Knicks play defense, can you imagine if Kawhi Leonard goes there?
Oh, here's why I get excited about it. What does it do to the Western Conference? I mean, immediately you have full confidence the Suns are that much better than the Clippers. And you can argue, well, they already proved it. Well, you know, Kawhi wasn't there, and I don't think the Clippers really took the Suns seriously. And it eliminates Patrick Beverley from the playoffs, or at least in the way of the Suns.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, Suns fans, there's one thing that's happening here. If you didn't read the story, you have Chris
Did
Paul.
You read it?
No, Chris Paul, I should have, has had wrist surgery, and he also has the tendon problem caused by Patrick Beverley. And then there's the broken nose. There's so many people that thought that Chris Paul was choking in the playoffs. And I repeated again what I said. There's no way a man with that handle forgets how to dribble.
No.
There was clearly an injury problem. And it was partially caused by Patrick Beverley. I don't know if anybody realizes this. This man is worse than Robert Horry. He had more to do with a lost championship than Robert Horry.
The hip check.
Because as much as we want to talk about Robert Horry and the hip check, here's the problem. They didn't make it out of that series. That was just the Western Conference semifinals. The Phoenix Suns were up 2-0 in an NBA Finals, and still the ghost of Patrick Beverley inhibited Chris Paul. And still Devin Booker is dealing with the nose.
Yeah.
I suggest Patrick Beverley gets ranked above Robert Horry on the hatred list.
Wow.
I know no one's going to buy that.
Well, he walked up and actually apologized. You know that. There's got to be some redemptive quality in that, is there not, Doug Lease?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, it's a minor surgery, by the way, for Chris Paul. That's what everyone's saying. And he's going to be ready for training camp. That'd be fantastic right now. You get it out of the way, bada bing, bada boom, right? And we all knew something was amiss with Chris Paul, especially later as the postseason. Think about this. As the postseason evolved, Chris Paul had a nerve issue in his shoulder, COVID, and a wrist. Oh, yeah, and a finger. Oh, my goodness. The fact that Chris Paul was able to even produce to the point he was is really incredible when you stop and think about it.
Coming up next, maybe you're not going to consider it shocking, but I think we have to discuss there's news in college football. What conference will ASU be in?
Oh.
That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Big Ten.
Drives the bus and Wolf sticks his head out the window. Doug and Wolf, mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Little 7-on-7 on the field and in the end zone. Little 1-on-1 O-line, D-line. Good morning, Doug and Wolf live, State Farm Stadium. As we are covering Arizona Cardinals practice, not just today, but for the rest of this week. And we'll, if anything happens here at practice that you need to know, we'll get right to it. But we, I think you might have heard Minch just say this in the update, but in case you didn't, this is pretty open-ended, but boy, it could go a lot of different directions. Max Olson, who covers college football for The Athletic, with this tweet. Sources. Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlsby is meeting with Pac-12 Commissioner George Kliavkoff. It could be Kliavkoff. I still haven't totally...
Let's go Kliavkoff.
Okay. They're meeting today to discuss the possibility of a scheduling alliance, a merger, or other options for their conferences to strategically work together.
Okay. A blending of the two right there. You could see this coming a mile away. It's a scramble, isn't it? It really is.
It's really interesting here because if you get into this dynamic, number one, normally teams along the central United States, it's actually, if you care why Faye Vincent got fired as the baseball commissioner,
one of the reasons,
is that he tried to push the Cubs into the West, and that interrupts start times. So all of the problems of the West Coast start times to get attention on the East, you don't want, if you're a centralized team in the United States, to have your start times pushed later. So that's usually a negative. So this shows you maybe Bob Bowlsby is thinking our options to go East aren't very good. And that's why you talk to the Pac-12. It's a huge bonus for the Pac-12. Can you imagine a regular U of A KU basketball game? And, I mean, that's fantastic.
Yes.
However, there's an elite AAU, and I don't mean basketball team, an elite AAU organization that is, I don't want to act like I know what I'm talking about totally, but it's an academic designation that you can earn. And only the Big Ten will allow schools that have that designation. What's interesting is KU and Iowa State both have that designation. Mm. So if I'm Kansas and Iowa State, I want to get into the Big Ten, not only for money, but they have the designation. If I'm Iowa, I don't want Iowa State in the Big Ten.
Right.
So that's kind of an interesting dynamic there, but it makes a lot of sense. And for the Pac-12, this would be heaven. I mean, this would be amazing to be able to pick up those schools and increase a lot of your offerings to a television audience.
Not just because of football, of course,
yes,
but because of college basketball.
Yes,
absolutely. I could see that.
And yeah, if you're ASU, you can recruit Texas a lot easier and maybe even better than USC can.
Yes.
Because you're right now Oregon, it opens up to, because Oregon's great everywhere. But if you're ASU, you've got to think, now we're playing against Baylor. Now we're playing against Texas Tech. Now we're playing against TCU. We have that opening for us to get inroads into Texas recruiting.
So now all of a sudden you've got this huge game of musical chairs. Is that what you're saying, Doug Lease?
Potentially.
Where the music ends, you don't want to be outside of that circle.
Now,
you want to be inside and sitting in a chair.
Now, how many of you would be upset? Maybe not as an ASU fan, but imagine the negativity if you're USC, who UCLA, who started the original Pacific Coast Conference, and then the Pac-8, and then the Pac-10, then the Pac-12. Well, you probably want it to change to the Big Pac or Big 12 Pac or something with the phrase Big 12 in it. You might say, well, why does that matter?
Yes.
Well, Texas and Oklahoma have all of their television rights owned by the Big 12 through 2025. If you break apart and become the Pac-12 or the Pac conference in any way, you have to forego all of that money because you're a different conference. But if you stay in the conference and it's still the Big 12, all those people get paid. So it might be something that doesn't happen until 2026. Because you want it, if I'm the Big 12, I want to get my Texas and Oklahoma money from them, even when they're in the SEC.
So could you see this right here? Could you see the Pac-12 merging with the Big 12?
I 100% could see
you
that.
Could totally see that happening. And could you
I think West Virginia would bail, though.
Could you see the Big 10 merging with the ACC?
No. There are people that are suggesting it, but I think you might see ACC teams like Pitt and some other ones pray to get into the Big 12, excuse me, into the Big 10. But I don't see them just merging because the Big 10, even though they're second to the SEC, the Big 10 network is second to nobody.
Yeah.
And the Big 10 has much bigger markets than the SEC. So the Big 10 is only going to look at you and say, do you help the Big 10? We don't have to do anything. And I think that's important. So yeah. I don't see a flat-out merger with the ACC.
It's incredible. It really is. The landscape of college football is absolutely changing. The game is changing before our very eyes. And all I can think of is a minor league for the National Football
League. That's true.
That's what it's turning into right now.
And what's interesting about this is the fact that the NCAA is actually, I'm not going to say falling apart, but even the president has said more power has to go to the conferences and less centralized power in the NCAA. That means the position of a Pac-12 commissioner is huge. So a merger is interesting to be able to pull it off. I think it's great for ASU. And I think it's great for U of A because what would more than likely happen is the old Pac-8 stays together as a division. And I bet ASU, U of A, and Colorado all move. Maybe it's a Pac-9 on the left and ASU, U of A, Colorado. Yes, as a division.
Within the conference.
Joins the Big 12 teams. So now your start times could be an hour earlier and maybe even 2 hours in September. You start the rivalry with TCU, Baylor, and Texas Tech to get inroads into Texas. You're playing there all the time, but you're still connected to the L.A. basin, as you would say,
yes,
in order to collect from the L.A. teams. I think this would be an excellent move for ASU, and I think the other schools in the Big 12, frankly, desperately need it because they don't have much at all without having the Big 12, without having Texas and Oklahoma in it.
Yeah, no, that's a great observation by you.
You
do you have more you want to say?
Yeah.
You got something else you want to say? Did you see what happened right there? It was excellent. A great job. Blitz pickup. Way to go, Chase Edmonds. Come back and run the ball. Get north-south, baby. Okay, I'm just saying.
Number two, Chase Edmonds.
Yes, number two.
By the way, do you notice something? There's no number 13 again.
There's no number 13. Didn't they retire that?
No.
Kurt Warner?
No, he's in the Ring of Honor. The number was not retired.
Meaning
Christian
kidding.
Kirk. I don't see him out there.
Yeah, okay.
I could be wrong, but right. I'm looking around. I do not see Christian Kirk out on the field.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
More on this as the show unfolds.
It is a little interesting and something to clearly look out for.
Look at this. 7-man slide protection. Well, ladies and gentlemen.
if you have anything to say about what you'd like to see happen to ASU or U of A or conference realignment, just text us on the FanDuel text line to 620-620. Please include your name. Again, nothing formal. Two commissioners meeting. It could be just let's work on schedules together. But one of the potential ideas is a flat out merger. But keep in mind, the Big 12 would want to stay together through 2025 so they could make a ton of money off of Texas and Oklahoma, because they still own their media rights, irrelevant of where Texas and Oklahoma plant their conference flag. Up next, A.J. Green is off to the most impressive start for the Cardinals as far as being the talk of camp. Wolf will tell you everything he's seen from the Cardinals wide receiver next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Coverage brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer and 72 Sold.
Hi, this is A.J. Green, and you're listening to 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
I expect AJ to have a big year. Glad he's on the team.
If AJ gets enough footballs this year, he may just be comeback player of the year.
He's been really impressive when you see him on the field with that type of size, with that type of movement skills.
AJ Green breaks the tackle, streaking toward the end zone. Yeah. Touchdown!
Yeah, man, I feel like I have a lot left in the tank.
Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals now.
We're
That's
live
my guy right there now
in the State Farm Stadium this morning, watching the first practice with real life hitting going on. I'll ballpark it at about 400 fans are here right now for an open practice. Maybe a lot more than that, because when you're spread out, it's kind of hard to take a total guess. Adrian Wilson, Steve Keim sitting about halfway up below us here as we sit in the press box, with Colt McCoy getting ready to take the snap. On the last series there, while the ones were in, I did notice something that I'm going to love to see how this progresses. It might have just been one play. It might be an issue that needs to be worked on. Zaven Collins had the hand signals down, was doing a good job signaling to everybody. A lot of D linemen turning around looking at him for the call.
Nice.
He seemed to be in complete control of the situation, turned to Buda Baker, was giving Buda a hand signal, and while his head was turned, Kyler snapped the ball. And he totally then was, as you could tell, it was, I'm doing my job, making sure everybody else is in the right spot, that I forgot one thing. There's a football game going on.
Something so base is that.
Yeah.
That's a good reminder.
And he got the ball snapped on him with his head turned, and then ended up chasing the whole play. I don't think it ended up being his responsibility.
Right.
So he didn't necessarily get burnt, but you could tell, I don't think it's a case where his head's swimming. But it was, hey, I just forgot to play football for a second.
That's exactly
worrying
right.
about my main job.
It's stuff like that right there. Bill Davis tonight, who, as they look at the tape together in the linebacker room, that's exactly what he's going to bring up. Things just like that. And this is the process. Mm-hmm. This is exactly the way that you're supposed to go about it. It's one of the reasons why the Arizona Cardinals, they want to throw Zaven Collins out there. Basin or needs that much, I will tell you. They want to throw him out there. They want to treat him as if he is a franchise quarterback. Throw him out onto the field and let him take his lumps early on, knowing that he is a guy that they think has a huge upside.
Now, I'm doing a sports talk show while I'm watching practice, so there's plenty of things that I could be missing or not quite seeing properly, but there's been a couple plays between Kyler Murray and A.J. Green where A.J. Green's been the talk of camp, but they did not connect on the play. And both times, the ball was overthrown. And I don't mean a stop, anything where the ball's over his head that way. It's more along the sideline, and I'm wondering, okay, is A.J. not getting off well? And so the ball is being thrown exactly where it was in against air? And AJ's not there right now, or is it Kyler's a little amped up, excited to play with people running at him and things like that? I don't know, but they've got to work on their timing. Obviously, I'm not saying, we've got a problem in August.
Right.
But
Doug Lease is not saying that. Don't text me. I don't want to hear it. Don't tweet me. Don't at me. Listen, right now, I'd rather have Kyler Murray long on his throws than short.
Doesn't get picked?
I'd rather have it long than short, because long, of course, is good. Throw it out there. You got a hose, use the hose. Let your wide receivers go and get the ball. There's a lot of wide receivers historically throughout the National Football League that have been really, really good at going to get the ball, even faster than what they'd run on a 40 time. And Jerry Rice is first and foremost. When you talk about a guy that ran whatever he needed to run in order to get the ball, it was Jerry Rice. Here's a guy, you put him on a clock, he's running a 4.65 coming out of Mississippi Valley State. 4.65. You know what? You throw the ball in the air, he's running a sub 4.4. It just, he had the ability to go get a ball. And you'd rather see your quarterback long than short.
So, for me, it was that play with Zaven Collins and a couple of the passes to A.J. Green that I've noticed, and a nice Marco Wilson play as corner. And I also noticed Malcolm Butler really enjoying the idea of lining up against DeAndre Hopkins in practice. What have you noticed? Because I've been doing more driving and you've been doing less.
What are you
listening
talking
to me
about?
And watching the game.
You
watching
know what?
Practice.
Honestly, I like what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a concerted effort to attack the line of scrimmage here today. I don't know. Maybe it's the first day of pads.
Okay.
Maybe that's the way. Maybe that's the reason why we're seeing them run the ball and do it in a north-south kind of way. The whole east-west kind of way to me, Basinonians, that's got to be there. That's got to be part of your offense because you want to do everything. You want the defense to think, oh, my goodness, these guys, they're capable of doing anything. If they want to line up and put Kyler Murray under center and run the ball in a north-south way, they're capable of doing that. If they want to put him in the shotgun and here comes the zone read, here comes the RPO, they're capable of doing that. They might use 10 personnel. They might use 13 personnel, one back, three tight ends. You don't know what you're going to get with the Arizona Cardinals. That is ding, 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 ding. That's exactly what I want to see, and it looks like they're attacking the line of scrimmage a little bit more than what I've seen them doing, a north-south kind of way, whether it was in the shotgun, the pistol, or even under center. Again, I would say, based on what we've seen here today, the shotgun is still the dominant formation that the Arizona Cardinals are in. And there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever, just so long as you're capable of doing it all. That's what I want to see more than anything else.
Do you think Chris Trevler is going to play special teams?
I do. Look at him. Right there. What do you think that is all about? Is that the first team punt pro, though?
I don't know.
Is that first team out there? Chris Scrubler as the personal protector. Something that I know very, very well, Basinonians. Hey, listen, to be a personal protector, first of all, you got to be smart.
Really?
You absolutely have to be smart.
I assumed that wasn't the case.
Because now all of a sudden, are you kidding me, Douglas? You might get a look you haven't seen all week long, and you better know what to do. You better make the call, and you better be able to turn the protection the way that you need to. And you better know what your assignment is. And oh, by the way, guess what? They might stick a big guy, a 300-pounder, right up the middle who's going to come right up the gut. As a personal protector, you better be able to pick him up. Stick your face right into him. By the way, some of the biggest guys you'll ever see out of the football field, soft as lilies. Soft as butter. Pluck the petals from their stem. They're soft just because they're big. My young crunk brothers, if you're listening to this right now, don't ever look at a guy and assume. Don't ever look at a guy in a football field and assume that you can't compete with him because of his size. You don't know. This is the great thing about this game. Even today, even still in the year 2021 of our Lord, even today, the game loves the wretched.
You know,
I'm talking about the wretched inside.
I should say I totally agree with you about your opinion of, you know, personal protectors, because imagine the special teams decision makers on the field if you've got a coach like Amos Jones. You've got to be able to overcome
that. Stop.
So you're right.
You got to be smart to be a personal protector, and you got to be tough. And what's so interesting is, you know, you've got this quarterback who is an absolute beast when it comes to hitting people. That's the thing that just blows my mind. Strebler the Leveler is a guy that is a physical specimen to the point they put him back to be the guy that is in front of the kickoff return man. The lead man into the hole is Chris Strebler, Basin audience. And you ought to see him run. He runs like he's this cowboy. His arms are all out wide. He's running like he's got these huge lats. I don't know.
Well, if you want some energy, keep listening the rest of the week. We're here Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday as
Strebler.
Wolf has started to lose his mind today to be able to actually watch football for the first time in months. Text REBOUND to 620-620 to receive an invitation to the exclusive Suns offseason virtual event featuring Arizona sports hosts and other special guests. Text REBOUND to 620-620. The Valley Virtual Series is presented by 72 Sold, where you can get a higher price.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo!
Doug and Wolf's.
It's all about the you. It's all about
the you. Brought to you by Carol Royce Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Get more money selling your home. Go to CarolHasTheBuyers.com. That's CarolHasTheBuyers.com.
My big takeaway from today's show is how confusing this practice has been because number 21 is not Pat P. Isaiah Simmons is number 9. Buddha is number 3. I'm completely confused, and I still keep looking up the same guy over and over again.
I just love the fact they've got mouth guards in and people are hitting each other. Peace and strength.